It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 97.3 FM WRIR. I'm your host, Marty Wegbright. This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free, civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show,
Fairfax County agreed to set up some tables and chairs out in the hallway to kind of facilitate attorneys meeting with people that were appearing in court, and we got a few more clients coming, and then about 15 years ago, the county booted out some court personnel to create an office for us that still exists between the main two civil courtrooms in the general district part of the court. And since that time, we've operated that office as an outreach office, but also as a public service office. And we have John Fry, the clerk of the Fairfax Court, is here, so he probably knows, and at least he hasn't been complaining to me about this lately, but we get people coming sent to our office by all the different clerk's offices, by the judges, their law clerks, the sheriff's office, people at the information desk, because we're one of the few places in the building where people can come and have a question answered and we can give legal advice, which, of course, most of the people in the building can't. Well, our original idea was we wanted to come up with some way of reducing the number of people who are defaulting and providing better outreach and access to our services. And if we simply looked at, gee, still most of the people are still defaulting, and we're probably missing a lot of the people who are eligible for our services, so in that sense it's a failure. But I think we've succeeded in coming up with a form of service delivery that I think is well worth replicating in other parts of the Commonwealth.
Peyton Whiteley from Legal Services of Northern Virginia addresses the Virginia State Bar and the legal aid community as he accepted his award as a co-winner of the Legal Aid Attorney of the Year on June 15, 2012. And during this week's question and answer session, we tell a listener about a program that helps qualifying low-income and previously incarcerated persons to restore driving privileges so they can drive to work and hold a job. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. The show is supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. This show, number 172, is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and is made possible by community radio volunteers at WRIR. And now, this week's news you can use. Major banks were the subjects of the largest number of complaints to the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, or CFPB, in 2011. Bank of America accounted for about 13% of the 13,000 complaints to the Bureau between July 21 and December 31, 2011. J.P. Morgan and Citigroup each accounted for about 11%. Capital One represented about 8%, and Wells Fargo accounted for about 5%. The number of complaints was roughly consistent with the size of the bank's credit card business. Richard Cordray, director of the CFPB, stated that his agency intended to make this data widely available to consumers, advocacy groups, businesses, policymakers, and journalists, so that anyone with access to the web will be able to review and analyze the information and draw their own conclusions. The Dodd-Frank Law of 2010 requires the CFPB to set up a complaint system and gives it authority to make the data it collects public. The database will include the type of complaint, the complainant's zip code, the name of the company, and a description of what action, if any, the company took in response. The database will not include information about the complainant's identity, and complaints will only enter the system once the CFPB has verified the business relationship between the company and the consumer. In the 2011 complaint data, most of the entries, about 9,300, were about credit cards, while about 2,200 were about mortgages. The data does not include a narrative field that outlines the exact nature of a consumer's grievance. It was exempted by the CFPB to protect personal privacy. Instead, the complaints are categorized in general terms, such as interest rates, billing disputes, or late fees. The CFPB began accepting complaints on credit cards on July 21, 2011, and on mortgages on December 1. Complaints received a response from the companies in question in 88% of the cases. The companies reported closing more than 55% of the complaints with relief, which means the consumer got objective, measurable, verifiable monetary value as a result of the action by the company. The closing rate masks a large discrepancy between how companies treated complaints on credit cards and mortgages. Complaints were closed with relief in 64% in the credit card category, but only 18% in the mortgage area. With this week's News You Can Use, this is your host, Marty Wegbright. You are listening to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
This week's legal term of the week is appeal. An appeal is a right you usually have after a final decision of a court or government agency. If you don't agree with the decision of the court or agency, you can have the decision reviewed by a higher court or agency, and sometimes a court can review an agency's decision. Almost all appeals have to be filed in writing. All appeals have to be filed within a certain time, called the appeal period. Sometimes you have to post an appeal bond of cash or property within a certain time to appeal from a lower court to a higher court. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Diane Dussault, and that's this week's Legal Term of the Week.
You're listening to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. It's time for this week's question and answer. We're here in the studio with this week's questioner. Tell us your name and where you're from.
Martin.
And where are you from, sir?
Richmond, Virginia.
Okay, great. What question do we have this week?
I lost my license 10 years ago and for DUI, and I'm on the bus route, and it's very expensive to get all through all the red tape and everything, and money and all that. Anyway, I just want to know how you felt about that, you know.
You'd like to know if there's some organization that could maybe help you get your driver's license back?
That's correct.
Okay, well, Martin, fortunately there is. This is a fairly new organization in Richmond. It's called Drive to Work, and it is a nonprofit tax-exempt corporation that assists qualifying low-income and previously incarcerated people to get back their driving license so they can do what you need to do, that is drive to work and hold a job. Basically, they provide legal and other services by attorneys, and they do that without charge. The only thing they have to do is charge you an administrative fee of $150. Their organization, Drive to Work, has cooperative agreements with the Virginia Department of Motor Vehicles, as well as with other state and private agencies to help people like you get their driver's license back. They have a website. It's www.drivetowork.com. .org, and it's very easy to qualify. You have to meet their eligibility rules, and that means you have to fill out an application, you have to obtain your DMV driver record, and provide two recent paycheck stubs, because again, this is a program to help people work. you have to have a gross income that's below twice the federal poverty line, and you have to either be employed or have other financial resources that will allow you to repay the various fees, the reinstatement fee, insurance, past due court fines, as well as any court filing fees that might be necessary. And then you sign an attorney retainer agreement and you pay the administrative fee of $150 when you are accepted. They have two offices locally. They have one in Richmond. They also have one in Petersburg. And the easiest way to contact them is by phone. It is 358-6727. They also have a toll-free number, which is 1-888-358-6727. Is this the type of information that you were looking for?
Yes, correct.
Okay, well, very good. I'm glad we could be of help. Thank you for being on the show. For 20 years, the Virginia State Bar has honored the Legal Aid Attorney of the Year, and this year, two Legal Aid Attorneys were so honored. Peyton Whiteley from Legal Services of Northern Virginia was one of the co-winners. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show was there, and here is Peyton's acceptance speech.
Peyton, to memorialize this honor, the bar gives you this traditional framed keepsake. It cites your excellent service and contains two ancient coins to symbolize the historic trust the public places in legal aid attorneys. Consistent with your wishes, the award also contains a quote of your own choosing. And I will let you tell the audience now what it says and what it means to you.
Well, thank you, and in which case I'll lead off. For any of you who haven't read your program yet, buried in here, I chose for my quote something that I'm sure will appeal to all of you in the room, the famous line from Shakespeare, "The first thing we do, let's kill all the lawyers." Now, I see that as perhaps the finest backhanded compliment of our profession, the recognition by people that we are significant. Whether they like or don't like what we do, we are significant in what we accomplish, and, well, that has meaning for me. The Maureen Petrini called me several times to first ask what I was going to talk about, and then we had several conversations where she was trying to find out how long I planned to speak, and every time I said, "Well, Maureen, I can keep it shorter," she got more and more enthusiastic. So since Sue has used up most of my good material, I have only a few very brief remarks that I will promise to keep brief so we can get on to the what I hope will be a much more engaging talk by Abigail. And I thank her for being here. Otherwise, the room wouldn't be anywhere near as full. So thank you, Abigail, for choosing the right time. And I do appreciate being honored together with you. One thing about longevity, since I guess I am one of the few people left in legal services who started before there was a legal services corporation, 40 years ago this year, in 1972, I began volunteering with the old Legal Aid Society in Charlottesville, and I thought I would probably go on to work in legal services in Virginia, which didn't happen for many years. I was hired, if I remember correctly, it was the Office of Economic Opportunity, which was the formal War on Poverty, back before there was a legal services corporation. Only after I took the bar exam, I was contacted and told I had a choice of choosing, and I thought, well, gee, am I going to work in Northern Virginia or Charlottesville or Tidewater? No, I was told I had a choice between Alaska and New York, and I don't know. I chose New York and eventually ended up back here in Virginia and have spent some time in legal services very enjoyably. On one thing I'd like to say, because I guess it's, I think, a very useful question I get asked from our staff and some others from time to time, which is, how have you done this work for this many years without burning out? Well, I always appreciate the notion that someone believes I haven't burned out, but as much as it's a great question to ask, and I think important, I don't really have a good answer that except that might tell you a little bit of something of why I've been in legal services for so long, because it's fun. This is interesting, challenging work, moderately compensated, but I think we have the most interesting things to do in the profession. I can't imagine more interesting, more enjoyable work than what we have. I've been very lucky in the places where I've worked, and now I'd like to be politically correct, at least briefly, but it is my view. We recognize individuals, that's great, but my perception of the things we've accomplished is they're not accomplished by me and they're not accomplished by individuals. I've had the good fortune to work with many very good people at Legal Services of Northern Virginia, and the things we have accomplished on some of the topics that Sue talked about and others really are collaborative projects. And so I see the award, and this will please my boss who's sitting down here, as recognition of the people who've come before me and still are with Legal Services of Northern Virginia, of whom I'm just part of the team. And there really are a lot of us together who make things happen. You know, we're not the ends of court. We really are a firm, and that's, I think, to me, a lot of what's interesting and important with legal services. I wanted, and now that I've found out ways, I'm just going to cut out most of the talk, but I tried to think, well, could I say something? And I was very fortunate to be here for Larry Harley's talk and several others before, and often they're very inspirational or they're very interesting. And this isn't going to be one of them. But I tried to think, well, there must be something, as long as, other than not talking too long, which would be out of character and probably appreciated, is there something that I can say that gives a little bit of insight into my view of what I've been doing in legal services, and maybe an idea that could be borrowed and used elsewhere. And that comes from what I sort of call the concept of failure. Now, I'm not being uncharacteristically modest. By failure, I see a lot of what we do in legal services can fairly be seen as not successful. If you look at the great hitters in baseball, they screw up two-thirds of the time and they go on to the Hall of Fame. So the fact that we're not able to accomplish great things in every individual case that we do, I don't see that as failure, but I wanted to give an example of something that I've been involved with for about 20 years, and I think we tried to do something which we failed all along the way, but I think the end result is a success. In Fairfax, in about 20 years ago, a group of us on staff got together and we tried to look at one of the problems that we perceived, and that was so many of our clients were defendants in general district court cases and housing cases and consumer cases. The vast majority, the overwhelming majority of people defaulted. They didn't show up in court. And so often we might see people later if they were coming to us for help with a bankruptcy, and we see they had good defenses. You know, they didn't need to be evicted, or they didn't need to have their wages garnished or have other things happen. But the problem was they weren't coming to us for help. Certainly not for help in time, so we tried to brainstorm and think of some way that we could be more effective and make access to legal services easier. And our first approach was we persuaded the court to send an information sheet out with every civil summons that would briefly explain court procedures, give our telephone number, explain about availability of legal aid, and it's still being done 20 years later. And that was largely a failure. We probably doubled the number of clients we were seeing, but we're going from 0.5% to 1%, and it wasn't terribly successful, so we tried to brainstorm, well, what else could we do that might tackle this problem? So we set up a project through the local bar association to get volunteer attorneys to come in and give a short talk for 5 or 10 minutes before the start of each morning's docket about what was going to happen in court and offer to answer questions for people and refer people for possible help. And we ran that program for a couple of years with some very, very modest success. Some more people came to legal services, but still most people defaulted, and even people who came into court still didn't come to us for help. So shortening the talk, from that we went on, Fairfax County agreed to set up some tables and chairs out in the hallway to kind of facilitate attorneys meeting with people that were appearing in court, and we got a few more clients coming. And then about 15 years ago, the county booted out some court personnel to create an office for us that still exists between the main two civil courtrooms in the general district part of the court. And since that time, we've operated that office as an outreach office, but also as a public service office. And we have John Fry, the clerk of the Fairfax Court, is here, so he probably knows, and at least he hasn't been complaining to me about this lately, but we get people coming sent to our office by all the different clerk's offices, by the judges, their law clerks, the sheriff's office, people at the information desk, because we're one of the few places in the building where people can come and have a question answered and we can give legal advice, which, of course, most of the people in the building can't. Well, our original idea was we wanted to come up with some way of reducing the number of people who were defaulting and providing better outreach and access to our services. And if we simply looked at, gee, still most of the people are still defaulting, and we're probably missing a lot of the people who are eligible for our services, so in that sense it's a failure. But I think we've succeeded in coming up with a form of service delivery that I think is well worth replicating in other parts of the Commonwealth. Ideally, I'd like to see more offices, access offices like we have in Fairfax, in Tidewater, and in other parts of the state. I think we perform a real important public service. And tying this back in, and this I'm going to wrap up fairly quickly, having been in legal services for a fairly long period of time now, I see change comes incrementally, very gradually, slowly, but big things can be accomplished over time if we have the patience to keep working on things and simply not accept failure. And success can ultimately result, as I think our outreach effort in Fairfax, it is a success. We're not reaching everyone, but we're doing a lot more than was done 10 or 15 years earlier, and we are reaching a lot of clients, and it's having some impact on some of the kind of cases that are heard in the court. So I'm very grateful to have been associated with a terrific group of people. Sadly, the turnover too often, or we'd have some more award winners here earlier from Northern Virginia. But it's been a treat for me to work in legal services, and I hope projects like that, and boy, I've got a lot of other good ideas too. You don't have time to hear right now, but before I finish, there's some more things I'd like to accomplish. So thank you all very much.
You've been listening to Peyton Whiteley from Legal Services of Northern Virginia as he accepted his award as a co-winner from the Virginia State Bar at the annual ceremony honoring the Legal Aid Attorney of the Year on June 15. This is the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. You're listening to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
This week's top three tips are about payday loans. The first tip is that a payday loan is a small, short-term, high-interest rate loan. The loan is between $100 to $500 and usually between 2 weeks and 2 months. The second tip is that a payday loan is a very expensive way to borrow money. A four-week loan's rate of interest is 362% per year. A two-week loan's rate of interest is 724% per year. The third tip is that to get out of a payday loan, you can stop payment on your check to the payday lender, make sure all of your other checks written on the account are paid, and then close the account. It's not a crime to do these things, and you can't be arrested for doing these things. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Michelle King. And for this week's, that's our top three tips about payday loans.
That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. This show is heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-868-1012 to call toll-free. You can get free legal information at the statewide legal aid website. This is www.valegalaid.org. You also may get free pre-recorded legal information by phone during non-business hours. These are before 9 a.m., after 5 p.m., and on weekends and legal holidays. Call toll-free 1-866-534-5243. If you have any comments on the show, you can email them to marty@cvlas.org. In addition, every first-run Central Virginia Legal Aid radio show ever broadcast is available at www.radioforall.net. That's radio, the numeral 4, all.net. Then click the contributor link, then click Marty Wegbright, Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. This show provides only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford one, call Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. For 20 years, the Virginia State Bar has honored the Legal Aid Attorney of the Year, and this year, two Legal Aid Attorneys were so honored. Join us next week when we present the acceptance speech from one of the co-winners, Abigail Turner from Legal Aid Justice Center, as she accepted her award on June 15, 2012. That's law for the rest of us next week on the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Marty Wegbright.